So let's look at an illustration of enterprise stakeholder analysis through a payroll. Now understand, even though we might think a payroll is a very simple process, it is not. There are multiple departments, there are multiple teams that come into the picture, and everyone, so there are various stakeholders and every stakeholder has a different requirement. This is also where we'll speak about Zuckerman and his method. So enterprise stakeholder analysis is important for identifying and studying the requirements and the expectations of stakeholder associated with a business process, in this case like a payroll. So what we are trying to identify here is who are the stakeholders. When I speak about payroll, what are the requirements for each of the stakeholders, what are the expectations of the stakeholders, and how it is going to be connected with the current business process, or how is it already connected, that as in scenario. So several stakeholders cannot be involved in a payroll process, including employees. So employees are definitely, because they are the people who are getting paid. Then you have the payroll department or the staff who's basically calculating the payroll. So the employee getting the payroll need to understand what are the deductions and how are their investments going to affect the tax deductions. Are they going to pay a certain amount of tax? How will be the tax be, the tax to be paid out, or the tax deducted at source span out over the period of 12 months. Then we spoke about the payroll department staff. We speaking about the payroll head, who would probably monitor everything to ensure that the payroll is currently designed and you're probably not even giving out payroll to the wrong payroll to the employees, or the relevant automation is in place. If it's not, then you need automation there. Business heads, the CEO, CFO, the income tax authorities, because I am also talking about tax deducted at source. So are the income tax authorities being informed about the deduction that you're making, and any government body that would come into the picture. Now, the expectations of stakeholder may vary, such as employees wanting to see their earning deductions and plan their tax and investments. So if you know any organization, or if you worked for an organization, you would know that as an employee, I need to clearly see what am I earning and what are the deductions that are happening from my salary. Additionally, how are the investments that I'm making going to help me plan the tax deduction? Is it going to reduce, or how much is going to be the monthly deduction, which we discussed sometime back? Next comes the payroll executives, requiring efficient computation of payroll and software generating statutory reports. So understand, there are a lot of goals. So I have leaves, I have leave without pay, I have, would have other kinds of leaves, I would have I would have deduction based on how many night shifts I've done, or computation based on how many night shifts I've done. Imagine having to do all this computation. Then what is the investment of each and every employee? So what is the tax that is getting deducted for each and every employee? Because each and every employee would have a different payroll, would have a different tax breakup criteria or investment criteria that would affect their tax. And also, like I said, the payroll is going to be different for each and every employee. So how is this computation happening? Am I getting all the reports as to what is going out to which employee? What is the final amount that is going out? Now, for a payroll manager, he wants to improve the scalability. Today we are doing 1,000 employees. Tomorrow we should be able to do 2,000 employees. The accuracy should be 100%, and the productivity of the payroll department should increase. That does not mean the last week of the month or the 15 days of the month is what is currently being spent by the payroll department to run these computations for the end of the month payroll dispersion. So if I can automate most of these tasks, I would be able to ensure higher productivity of the payroll department so that these people can be engaged in other productive tasks. The CEO or the president in HR may want decision support to work out the cost to company for a given band, level, grade, designation, benchmark salary with competitors in the industry, and access payroll information on a tablet or mobile phone while visiting different locations. So the CEO or the president of HR, what does he want? He's maybe seeing what is the cost to the company for each and every employee. He wants to know whether the each band or each level getting us or the grade getting a salary which is compared to the competitors. Is he getting much more? Is he getting much less? What are the chances? So that would also determine if the person would be quitting the organization. So based on what is the benchmark that I should have with regards to the salaries in a particular location, what is the benchmark across, what is the average salary that is going out? And he should be able, instead of having to switch on the laptop every time, he should be able to quickly do it on his phone or a tablet to be able to take decisions in a factual and a more database manner. The accountsman needs to get the pay calculation in time to make the payouts and book the data to be sent to them in a way that there can be merged into the accounting system. So the accounts team would need to get the payouts so that they can calculate the right amount that is available in the system for the salaries to be given out. They would need to give enough notification to the bank to release all the salaries on time to the relevant account. They would need to ensure they match the right person's salary to their right account number, because a mismatch could also lead to wrong information. And finally, sending out the pay slips to the users or the employees. Now that we've discussed how the use case of the payroll department and the stakeholder analysis from an enterprise point of view, now let's implement the same thing using the Zuckerman's framework. Now this is what the Zuckerman's framework looks like. So the rows are the stakeholders and the columns are basically the perspectives or what does each stakeholder need from the system. So one of the frameworks that can help an analyst study these various stakeholders from an enterprise point of view is the Zuckerman framework. Okay, so like we were discussing in the previous slide, Zuckerman framework has two dimensions. One is the row which represents the various stakeholders, and the columns represent the previous perspective that each of the stakeholders may have. So how do I use the Zuckerman framework? Let's go on. Uses of Zuckerman frameworks. The Zuckerman framework generates a lot of questions at different levels of analysis, process, management, enterprise. So now let's understand. So as a planner, what do I want? So when I say what data am I looking at? Again, as a planner, how should I be given the data or how do I have access to the data? It talks about the process. Where on the network would the data be available? Who, that means who are the people who would be getting the data? When do they need it and why do they need it? The same would go for the process owner. So I would determine data, process, network, people, time, need for all of these stakeholders, which would give me a very clear picture about who needs access to which part of the system, where in the network do I need the relevant access, and all of that. So Zuckerman framework asks a lot of questions and it gives me a completely different level of analysis that we are talking about. It is a powerful tool for enterprise analysis when used effective by an analyst. Like we saw, the Zuckerman framework can give me what, how, when, who, why, where, all the possible answers to all the possible questions for all the possible stakeholders. So the framework emphasizes studying a business process or a software solution from multiple perspectives. That means you're not only studying it from a business perspective or from a user perspective, you're studying it from the developer perspective, from the end user perspective, from the indirect user, the direct user, maybe even an external user, the business user, and all possible users that you can talk about from that perspective. The analyst should not only analyze user requirements, but also consider the needs of top management, process owners, and the software development team. So using the Zuckman's framework, I'm not limiting myself to a particular user or a particular set of users. I am trying to cover a designer, a development team, a process owner, a management, everybody possibly that I can cover. In software export projects, the analyst often travels to the client or near location while the developers and technical teams are located offshore. So when I'm looking at a project which is for an external client or maybe for one of the branches which does not exist in the same city, same country, or maybe in a completely offshore location, it could be within the same country, it could be on a different country, it could be in a different time zone. So then the analyst would need to travel while the developers and technical teams would be located in a different framework. So also in that case, the Zuckman framework would come into effect for you to understand where and what is happening. The analyst should capture important functional and non-functional requirements during on-site visits, such as performance expectations, interface requirements, security requirements, target hardware, software platforms. Do I need to change the hardware system? Do I need a new software solution? What are the stakeholders' requirements from the interfaces? Who are the possible people that will use the interface? What is the kind of performance that is expected? What are the regulations and compliance which will help me determine the security on the application? Enterprise analysis focus area. So where exactly does enterprise analysis focus on? The first is the identification of the business need. That is my primary goal, where I'm saying what exactly is my business need that I need to build a solution for. Then once I've identified that need, I have to understand the as is scenario, which is the current state of the organization. That means where is the state of the organization, where in the landscape is the existing information. So all the as in possible, as in scenarios, when we go towards the last chapter, we'll discuss how this will also help us in, or we would also include the as in scenarios into the documentation, so as a business analyst I can have a thorough documentation. So existing information landscapes, then once I've identified the state of the organization, I've identified the current information landscape, where I'm getting the information, is the information available or not, then I go into the gaps. That means how different is the current state versus the final state, and how can I bridge those gaps in the capabilities. Then I come down to the definition of approach to a solution and the solution scope. So I begin to now visualize what should the solution require, how should the solution scope be defined, how would I measure if the solution is a success or not. And finally, support developing a business case. So information about the current business landscape, long-term objectives is obtained from the enterprise structure, service operation, service help desk, or the ITIL, that is IT related lease services, business process management. So all things about the current systems, current architecture, the current people, the landscape, the where is the IT team planning to be in a couple of months, what is the expected architecture and the scenario over a period of time. So tools for enterprise analysis is one, I use the Zuckman framework, which is the overarching network and will give me a more complete dimensional view of the entire situation. It would take into consideration what is needed, who are the people and what do they need. For a given row and column in the framework, the BA should select an appropriate tool or technique for the analysis. So in the row and column framework, I need to ensure that I have the appropriate tools and techniques listed for the analysis. Where exactly am I going to implement this framework? What is the tool I'm going to use? How am I going to, what is the technique I'm going to go with answering all the Zuckman's, the questions in the Zuckman frameworks? How am I going to relate each question to each stakeholders, and how is going that going to be documented? Questions such as why, as a planner's level, can be analyzed using a business strategy and a IT strategy framework. So why at a planner's level needs to be analyzed. Who is the planner and why does he need access to the data? Is it anywhere in the business strategy or the IT strategy framework? Can I analyze that situation? That would need to be done. The how question at the process owner's level can be analyzed using process mapping tools like activity diagram, flow charts. So at the process owners, how would he access it or how would he get the information? I would need to build the right activity diagram from the previous, or if I've already built the activity diagram and the flow chart, I can get that information from there. So which would also mean we'll continue the question that the Zuckman's framework or the enterprise analysis can be done much later in the system or towards the end of the analysis that I'm doing, before the implementation of the solution or start working on the solution. The hierarchy chart or the organogram can help to understand the people aspect of the process owner's level. That means, who are the people that are reporting to him? How does the reporting structure work with the process owner? How does he see the entire reporting structure? Is it going to impact my solution? And what are they also going to be part of the user framework for my solution? Then within the Zuckman's framework, appropriate techniques should be used for analysis. That means when I'm looking at the various stakeholders, I'll probably need to conduct focus groups, personal interviews, and with each of the stakeholders to understand what kind of a system and how the system will need to look like from an enterprise perspective for them. Okay, like we said, we will use various tools and techniques to fill up the entire Zuckman's or to complete the entire Zuckman's framework. So when I talk about that, we have a below table which talks about at each level to gather the information, or what is the tool and technique I can use and where could I get the references from. So let's understand that. So level is planner. Purpose is business strategy and competition. So business strategy frameworks such as Potter's Five Forces Model, Ansoff Model, SWOT Analysis. Any book on business strategy will be able to help me with the tool and technique that I need to use for this particular purpose. At a planner, again, the IT strategy. So critical success factors, which we'll speak about in one of the chapters. Alfred Schindler's Strategy Trilogy. Mac Fridlin strategy grid. Where will I get it? In IT for Management, DPL book. DPL is Data Leakage or Loss Prevention chapter on long range planning of systems. Then I come to the process owner. Understand the broad process and the services, the data flow diagrams, the activity diagram, the hierarchy chart, the class chart, the class diagram, state transition diagram, service blueprinting, service scopes. Again, well will I get it? IT for Management DLP. User solution, we've spoken about most of these, so we'll get this in also in our notes. User or solution visualization. What do I need? Use case diagrams, use case dialogues, screen based prototypes, wireframes, etc. So again, the IT management, and it is one of the chapters in our study, so probably chapter 12 that we have to talk about. Analyzing the tangible aspects of the enterprise. So focuses on the tangible aspects while applying the Zuckerman's framework for other tools and techniques. However, the BA must keep in mind the business processes and the software solutions work in human organization. So we are analyzing the intangible aspects of the enterprise. Most of the time what happens is the focus is primarily on the tangible business aspect while applying the Zuckerman's framework and other tools and techniques. What we also need to keep in mind as a business analyst is more of the intangible aspects. So we need to keep the business processes in mind, the software solutions work in a human organization. So how does a human interact? What is the mental model that is having the human having? How would he deal with the solution and all of that? The BA has to look at the people aspect, which includes the experience of the users with the technology and the motivation to use the solution. So installing a practice in place where the users have to use the system, we can also design it in a different way where the more the user needs are satisfied, the experience of the users is enhanced with the technology, the more is their motivation to use the solution automatically rather than being forced to use the solution. Because if the more is the motivation to use the solution, the higher is the acceptance of the solution, and which drives the output of the solution or would make the output more successful. The BA should study the larger cultural context of the organization, the underlying philosophies of running the businesses, and current levels of positive energy within the organization. So when I'm looking at how is the cultural vibe in the organization, also how is that cultural vibe driving the energy of the people? Are the people more negative towards the organization? Are they more positive? What are the philosophies that are being used by the people who are running the show and the business? And how can you enhance all of that? Or how can you build your solution into all of this? Business case and the feasibility report. So enterprise analysis justifies investments in business processes or IT solution. Zuckerman's framework requires answering why at every stakeholder to determine the business justification or the business case. So every point in the Zuckerman's framework that we are looking at would determine one business case, and I can then use this business case to also determine the show how effective my solution can be. So that's the how it would help me with the business justification also. The business case would determine need and value of the solution to the organization. So we discussed at the beginning that we definitely need to have the business case in place to determine the need and the value of the organization. Practicality of the needs to be assessed in four ways. We said firstly is the financial, technical, operational, and the schedule. So we are looking at finances, we are looking at time, we are looking at energy, we are looking at cost, and we are looking at resources. So now I have to discuss the feasibility or the practicality of each of these four ways. First is the financial. So financial feasibility is important for any business case and is typically evaluated using such things such as cost benefit analysis. That means the cost that I'm spending into the system, how beneficial or what is the benefit I'm getting in exchange, so value for money. Payback period, how fast can I expect, or how, what is the time period in which I can expect to get the profits on the my investment. What is the current net present value and what is the expected net present value in the future, and internal rate of return. So what is the rate of return, if I, when I get a return, what will be the growth of it. Conventional financial approaches are best suited for cases where both cost and benefits are measurable. So all conventional methods would include cost benefit analysis and make it measurable, which allows me to check the success of my solution. Intangible benefits should be given weightage in cases where costs are hard but benefits are not quantifiable. That means even though I'm spending a lot of money, I will not be able to show benefits in terms of numbers. So then I will need to shift to intangible benefits. That means I will need to give higher weightage to intangible benefits rather than tangible benefits. So you would design the business case based on that. Investments in security solutions may be justified by savings in management decision making time and effort, leading to a peace of mind for the management. Security solutions can be truly expensive, so you have to be able to justify those savings. Most of the time, the main justification that would be given is basically the peace and mind of the management, or basically ensuring that you are following the compliance so that you are not stuck in legal matters, so that the that is one aspect which the management will not need to worry about, and that is the main cause when I talk about the time and decision making, the reason for investment in security solutions. R&D or innovative projects are often unpredictable and require management commission and a broad budget to continue funding for an extended period of time. So when I'm doing R&D or I'm doing which is research and development or innovative projects, then we do not know when those projects will give us the value, how long would the projects be running, and would we able to have the budget enough to continue funding till we get tangible results out of that effort. A table is presented that shows the approach required for investment based on two dimensions, cost and benefits, which are either soft, difficult to quantify, or hard, which are easily measurable. So quantifiable and non-quantifiable. So we have treated like R&D investment, which is soft, so it is difficult to quantify, and also the benefits are not very easily quantifiable. Risk analysis, able to measure precisely, but the cost is not very easy to quantify. Return on management, soft, so hard to measure when it comes to return on management, the benefits, but hard when it comes to the cost. And financial matters is both hard on the benefits and hard on the cost. The business case and the feasibility report brings us to the next point, which is operational feasibility. We finished discussing financial feasibility. Now we go and technical feasibility. Now we go on to the operational feasibility. When deciding on IT investments, the practicality of the solution from an operation should not be overlooked. So, and sophistication of technology and business attractiveness can cloud understanding of operational inconveniences and impracticality. So Again, from an operational point of view, you're talking about a lot of IT investment, a lot of IT infrastructure, practicality of the solution from an operational standpoint, then the sophistication, what are the modern techniques that I'm using, and how it makes the entire thing or the business look more attractive. But we are all forgetting, is it possible? How impractical is it? How practical is it? Is it inconvenient or is it very easily possible to implement the feasibility? So again, we need to keep the beauty of it away from the actual practicality of being able to achieve that thing. Operational issues are situational and contextual for each organization and should be sensed. So when I talk about operational issues, they are very situational. So we need to, and unique for every organization. So you need to be sensed and you need to study the organization in detail to be able to understand these issues. Example is handle devices with operational bottleneck of charging when issued by the central department. That means it might have a charge, it might not have a charge. So we need to work on that. Operational feasibility needs to be studied with great care, and manual procedures associated with it also need to be considered in evaluating the feasibility of the such system. Do I need to install new software? Where are the software that need to be installed? What are the new manual procedures? Can it be installed manually, or does it can it be automated? What do we have the IT resources to implement the kind of implementation we are talking about as far as the software is concerned. Technical feasibility, the primary cause of IT system failures is the failure to understand complete requirements. Failures to technology reasons are less common than failures due to incomplete understanding of requirements. So, if I've understood the requirements correctly, I would be able to write use the right technology. So, technology once has been aligned correctly with the requirement, the chances of failures are less. But it is important that you have the complete requirements to avoid IT system failures, because a failure to understand the complete requirements would result into definitely a system failure and a failure of the solution. Technology related issues include the compatibility of the hardware and software, lacking of technical skill, integration issues with the existing structure. This is what we have spoken about and we have been talking about throughout the topic. So is the new technology going to be compatible with the existing system? Do we have the resources that can work on the new technology? What kind of integration issues are we talking about when we are talking about implementing the new technology on the existing infrastructure? Innovative solution might require technology that does not currently exist or is limited by cost and other factors. Obviously, because I'm doing an innovative solution, I do not know the technology would already exist or what are the limitations as far as the technology is concerned. Schedule feasibility. Completing IT projects within expected schedules is very important. Constraints that affect the schedules can come from various sources. That means limitation of licenses to put on the systems, limitation of people who are implementing the software, limit not enough time without affecting the work schedule and various projects. So you need to consider all of them before you put down the schedule for completing IT projects. Examples are overambitious project plans. That means I've not considered everything. How does the business work? What are the timings? What is the success of the company? Timing within the year, time zones, holidays, competing projects. Is it a holiday season or not a holiday season, peak season for the work, and all of those would come over here. Business analysts should assess the possibility and the risk of IT facing these countries when planning the project. So when I'm talking about things that would require IT initiatives when I'm implementing the solution, I need to assess all the possibility. Also, I have a thorough schedule so I can understand when the IT schedule would be implemented and how long it would be take to be implemented. Let's summarize the entire thing. Aligning business processes and IT applications to critical business issues is essential for success. Enterprise analysis ensures that requirements reflect the needs for the enterprise as a whole. Business analysis must consider the larger business context and organization context while assessing IT solutions. The Zachman's framework is a useful tool for studying the enterprise context, and specific modeling and diagram tools can be used as appropriate. The value of IT initiative must be assessed through a business case, including feasibility in technical, financial, operation, and schedule aspects. Thank you.